Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Empowering Dietitians podcast, where each week I dive into a specific topic to help you feel more confident and connected to your work as a dietitian. In today's episode, I'm sharing my business values and talking about why we all benefit from them, if not for an actual business, then for our professional lives and the work we do in any area. Part of the issue that dietitians are facing, the burnout, the overworking, the imposter feelings, it's because we don't take time to develop our professional identities, and your professional values are a great place to start. Earlier this year, I took some time to outline not only my business values, but also my purpose, my vision, my mission, and these core values that drive every decision that I'm going to do this again. Pause. Earlier this year, I took some time to outline my business purpose, my vision, my mission, and the core values that drive every decision that I make. It wasn't work that I had done before, and I was inspired by the year that I spent in grad school for mental health counseling. Something that they emphasized from day one was professional identity. Why are we interested in this line of work? Who are we and what do we stand for? Which theories will form the bedrock of our frameworks and our approaches? And how do our identities align with the values and ethical code of the profession overall? These questions are pivotal to the professional development for all of us. Yet, I can't name a single time as a dietetic student or dietitian that I was asked to consider any of them. It's no wonder so many of us are feeling this existential crisis professionally, this feeling that we don't know who we are or if any of it is worth it or if we chose the right field. So I started to think about it for myself. And as I solidified that work for my own professional life, I started to work it into conversations with clients and eventually made sure to weave it into the new group program that I'm launching in the fall. And today, I want to share what my business values are, because it's important for you to understand what Empowering Dietitians stands for. If you're ever going to consider collaborating with me or working with me, and through those values, I'll be sharing how we can all use our values to feel more confident and connected to our work. So first, I want to read my mission statement to you, to really illustrate, again, the purpose of my business and what it is that I do. Empowering Dietitians is a supervision program committed to supporting dietetics practitioners in their journeys to feeling more connected to their work and the communities they serve. As a supervisor, I model integrity, humility, and vulnerability in harmony with a growth mindset, confidence, and assertiveness, so that dietitians can see that it is possible to have an open heart and a passion for helping others without burning out or compromising their own boundaries in the process. Dietitian burnout, career resentment, and dissatisfaction do not need to be the norm. We can strengthen the profession and, in turn, make a bigger difference in the world around us. The Empowering Dietitian Supervision Program is a safe, supportive space for a community of dietitians to discover who they are as authentic individual practitioners, identify and challenge the blind spots and limiting beliefs compromising their ambitions, and cultivate a deep sense of purpose and confidence in living out their personal and professional visions. That is what my business does. And I am passionate about this work. My values, then, are how I do it. They are my guides as I go to make decisions in my business. They are how I work, how I treat others, and how I show up for clients. They are both my reality and my aspiration. They are reminders, in some ways, of things that I want to be better at and grow into, as well as indicators of what I already embody professionally. I chose to write them pluralized, using we instead of I, and I'll probably be editing my mission, my visions to reflect that as well, because my business and my professional practice are so much greater than myself. And I may be a, like, jack of all trades right now, doing most of the behind the scenes work in my business on my own, but I don't plan to be forever. I plan to have a team. And so empowering dietitians will one day be more than myself. And that means that these values have to represent everyone, and that everyone on my team has to in turn represent these values. These values are not my personal ones. Is there overlap? Of course. I wouldn't have made them professional values or business values if I didn't also stand for them in my personal life. But I am not my business. There are parts of me that are distinct. And my business, again, represents so much more than just me. You'll also note as I share them that my values are not single words. That's how they began, words that came together to form messages and themes. But I don't believe that a professional value is a word. Honesty, authenticity, compassion. What do those words mean? That's true values work. It's bringing value to life. So you can certainly choose to create a values list that is simply a list of words. It's not wrong. If you do that, though, you'll want to find a way to infuse life and action into them. Define what they are and how they're implemented. Don't stop at a word. You have to give it meaning. So with that being said, here are the Empowering Dietitian's business values. Number one, we embrace power with dynamics rather than power over dynamics, prioritizing community, collaboration, trust, and humility. We are committed, number two, to ethics-driven, courageous contributions to making the field of dietetics stronger, more equitable, and more supportive. Number three, we value time spent intentionally with patience and respect for fluctuating personal bandwidths. Number four, we nurture our wholeheartedness, infusing compassion and authenticity in all that we do. And number five, we lay a foundation of connection within ourselves to our own intuition and identities, amongst one another and our larger communities, to our work, and to the universe as a whole. Now, let's take some time to break each one down. Number one, we embrace power with dynamics rather than power over, prioritizing community, collaboration, trust, and humility. Something that I talk a great deal about on this podcast, my Instagram platform, and in my upcoming group program is systemic awareness. We have to understand how and why rugged individualism has been bred into our society and the ramifications it has on us across all areas of our lives. I'm not interested in gaining power or prestige if the only way that I can do it is by exerting dominance over someone or something else. I'm not interested in comparisons or competition, especially not with other dietitians. I'm here to reject and help you reject the professional culture that has impaired our ability to form truly supportive spaces within dietetics for each other. To the dietitians out there who are scared to post a question in a dietitian Facebook group because you've done it before and got attacked by your peers. To the dietitians who feel threatened by all of the uncredentialed nutrition influencers and are stressed out trying to convince the world that dietitians are the ones with extensive training and expertise. To the dietitians who feel alone and isolated. You are struggling because of patriarchal power over dynamics that have divided us as a profession, divided us as a collective, and taught us that the only way to gain success, prestige, and power is by creating a hierarchy and fighting your way to the top of it. I'm not here for that. I'm here for abundance. I'm here for inner confidence that doesn't get shaken by others around you. I'm here for owning my worth and expertise without clinging so tightly to it that I can't see worth and expertise in others. I'm the owner of Empowering Dietitians. I'm a supervisor. But more and more, I'm leaning towards changing my title. There is an inherent power differential between supervisor and supervisee. And yes, dietitians hire me to help them and guide them and give them advice, but I'm not here to be the one and only expert in the room. I view myself as more of a consultant. Yes, come to me for advice, but be ready to provide the advice yourself. I'm not only committed to helping my clients reclaim their own expertise and confidence. I also freely admit that they help each other as much as I help them. Even in my one-on-one program, I bring them together for monthly group calls, and they help each other. I may not be an expert, for example, in eating disorder treatment. I have some knowledge, some limited experience, but some of my clients work solely in this area. I don't take insurance in my private practice, but some of my clients do. I don't work in clinical, but a bunch of my clients do. When I first started this business, I felt like I had to be the expert. I felt like I had to know it all. After all, I'm the one you're paying, right? I've learned over the past 2 years not to feel threatened or discredited by the fact that sometimes my clients have an answer that I don't. And you benefit from that. Because when I don't know the answer, chances are one of my other clients does. And I'm not afraid to own that. I'm not afraid to share that power. My program is as effective and powerful as it is today because of my clients, because I'm not the only one with the answers, because of community. So if you've ever considered working with me, know that I'm not here to be the authority figure. I'm not here to tell you what's right. I'm here to guide you. Sure. And I offer feedback when appropriate. And in between all of that, I'm here to listen. I'm here to direct you to my other clients experiencing something similar, to offer their input. I'm here to open you up to community and resources so that in time, you can build a network of support. That is my commitment to you. Now, speaking of commitments, my second business value is we are committed to ethics-driven, courageous contributions to making the field of dietetics stronger, more equitable, and more supportive. Now, ethics is another area that dietetics doesn't emphasize much. We now have the ethics requirement for continuing ed, which was new when I became a dietitian, by the way, but one credit every 5 years is hardly what you would call extensive. Our own code of ethics is pretty bare bones. And so when I built the group program that's launching this fall, I made sure to include a comprehensive ethics section because we as dietitians need to not only know what our own code entails, we also have to understand all of the gaps in our code, how other professions address these gaps, and how these ethical codes align with our individual values and identities to help us make critical professional decisions. And I don't mean I'm going to teach you that, like, plagiarism is wrong. Please. No. I teach you how to make hard, real-world decisions that don't have obvious right or wrong answers, and to make those decisions in a way that honors ethics and what you believe in. That means learning about boundaries with patients and clients and appropriate relationships. That means understanding ethics when it comes to having a social media presence, because, hi, whether you have a private practice or not, most dietitians have an Instagram account. And it means understanding sociocultural issues, worldviews, and what happens when yours isn't the same as a patient's or a client's, and so much more. I push back against the academy and our profession quite a bit, and I make sure that I'm honoring my ethics and my values every single time. I'm not here to bash anyone or tear them down. I'm here to hold entities accountable, to say, we can be better than we are today. And in order to do that, we need to get really honest about what we need to address in this field. So I'm going to be talking about eating disorders and disordered eating amongst dietitians. I'm going to talk about systemic oppression that makes our field inaccessible except to the privileged few. I'm going to talk about uncomfortable topics, and I'm going to crowdsource solutions and teach you how to sit with discomfort so that you can advocate for what you believe in too. If all I'm doing is working on the individual level to help you withstand the systemic pressures that you face, and I'm not doing the bigger work to address the pressures at the source, then I'm not doing my job. Now, business value number three. We value time spent intentionally, with patience and respect for fluctuating personal bandwidths. I'm not here to buy into the hustle and grind mentality. I don't need you to work harder. I don't need you to feel pressure to perform and jump through hoops in your professional development work. And we don't really need more time. We need more time spent intentionally. And so a core part of my business is recognizing that sometimes you and I both need some space. So sometimes I'm going to set boundaries that honor my own fluctuating personal bandwidth. That may mean taking time off from the podcast or new Instagram posts. That might mean ending my workday early one day if I need to. It might mean telling a client, no, I'm not available on that day at that time. Not because I have a scheduling conflict, but because I need that time for myself. Or because I know I'm not in the right headspace to give you my full attention. I can count the number of times I've canceled on a client on one hand. Once, I canceled because of a horrible storm that knocked out my power for a few days. And it was during COVID, so I couldn't easily go somewhere to get power to keep going. I canceled a few sessions when I had COVID, and I was not exactly functional. And once, Justin had a close family member pass away an hour or two before a client call was scheduled, and I canceled so that I could be with him. Could I have held that call? Yes. My calls are an hour. Justin would have been fine, and I could have had the rest of the evening to be with him. But in deciding how to be intentional with my time, in honoring bandwidths and allowing humanity to enter my work, I knew that rescheduling was the better decision. And sometimes I'm going to encourage you to set boundaries. That might mean rescheduling a call with me because you're going through something hard and you need some quiet time. That might mean holding a call with you and you didn't achieve the goals we had set from the last session because you were sick or you had an opportunity to see an old friend or your anxiety got the better of you. And so I meet you where you're at. I'm here to work with you, not against you. I encourage us all to learn how to rest and pace ourselves, to challenge the hustle culture that's contributing to our burnout, to honor and respect our fluctuating capacities. I work with dietitians on setting boundaries with time and people, listening to their bodies, giving themselves full permission to rest, and being intentional with the limited time that we're all given on this earth. Now, in line with that, number four, we nurture wholeheartedness, infusing compassion and authenticity in all that we do. First, compassion. Supervision is all about holding space. So when you have a hard session with a client, or a hard conversation with a boss, or a hard body image day, my job is to be here. My job is to have compassion and empathy as you're learning to have compassion for yourself. My group program starts with self-compassion early on because it is the foundation of so much of the work that we do in professional development and growth. Then there's authenticity. If you haven't noticed, I'm a pretty open book. I had a client recently tell me that one of the big reasons she decided to work with me is because I get on this podcast and record all of my mistakes for the world to hear. I'm open about my struggles and the fact that I'm not perfect either. I know all that I know, and I help all these dietitians, and guess what? I'm still working on stuff too. I make mistakes. I make spelling errors. I trip over my words. I post the wrong videos. I forget to change links in my bio and all of the things. I'm not perfect, and I don't need to be. It took me a very long time to figure out who I am. And I don't know that we ever fully like get there, right? Like who I am today, even though I'm so much more sure of myself than I was 5 or 10 years ago, it's not exactly who I'm going to continue to be, but I'm so much more connected to myself now. And I'm here to show up as I am. And I'm going to encourage you to show up as you are too, because we don't need perfect cookie cutter dietitians. We need you in all of your messy uniqueness. We need you to get really clear on who you are and then get out there and share that with the world. And lastly, business value number five. We lay a foundation of connection within ourselves to our own intuition and identities, amongst one another and our larger communities, to our work, and to the universe as a whole. Let's break this one down a little more. So connection to our own intuition and identities. I've built my new group program on my twist on intuitive eating. I'm going to be bringing you the 10 principles of intuitive living for dietitians. It's what I've been working with dietitians on one-on-one for the past 2 years, but finally took time to kind of solidify it and streamline it and give a name to it. Because whether you're an intuitive eating dietitian or not, getting connected to who you are and your own intuition is pivotal in gaining confidence and preventing or recovering from burnout. And part of that intuition is identity, having a really strong sense of self, knowing who you are as a person and who you are as a dietitian. That's what this episode is all about. That's what this work is all about, this values work. It's your identity. And through my business, I'm committed to helping as many dietitians as possible get clear on who they are. And when we have that inner confidence and clarity, we can then forge connections with one another and our larger communities. Again, this goes back to the power with dynamics. We are stronger together. Lean on each other safely. Because dietitians can't keep working in silos, fearing the animosity experienced from those around them. And we need to learn how to collaborate with other healthcare professionals, other community members, other humans. Part of who we are is our community. We also need a connection to our work, something that I hope to be speaking more to in a few weeks after my honeymoon is the disenchantment that we're seeing in the field right now. Too many dietitians are disconnected from their work, whether that's because of their burnout or the work that they're doing isn't lining up with their values, the systems in which they work are preventing them from making the impact that they want to make, or they're caught up in feeling undervalued and underpaid. These dietitians are losing touch with their passion for the field, and maybe you can relate too. And if nothing else, dietitians are pretty passionate people, so we have to work to re-spark that passion or figure out what's going on. And lastly, connection to the universe. You folks know I'm into the woo by now, right? So you better believe that there's a little woo in empowering dietitians. Partly because dietitians often need to be pushed out of that overly analytical brain of theirs into something less rational or evidence-based. And partly because there is a deep beauty to the world and connecting to it does so much to counter that hustle and grind mentality, that burnout and that disenchantment. So I teach dietitians how to slow down, how to ground themselves, how to connect with the ebb and flow of life and energy. In the past, I've been afraid to embrace this in particular. So I do what we all tend to do, or I used to do what we all tend to do when we get self-conscious. I half committed. I put intention setting work in my one-on-one work with dietitians, but I barely enforced it. And that was like it. It was this random blip of woo that got mentioned once in session one and then never again. And all this half commitment does is lead to disconnect and confusion. So with my group, I'm going all in. It's cool if you're not sure how you feel about it. I get dietitians across the woo spectrum, like from all the way 100% to it conflicts with their beliefs to they're further into the woo than I am. So I've made sure to be as inclusive as possible while still honoring this part of me and my business and how I believe that we can really transform our profession. So I'm doing things like lining my start dates up with the new moon and teaching you a bit about the lunar cycle. Because, I mean, hi, we're mostly women here. And if we're going to opt out of all this like burnout and hustle and grind and whatnot, we have to start learning more about cycles, ebbs and flows, cyclical energy, not linear. I'm dabbling a bit into astrology along with some other popular personality assessments like Enneagrams and Myers-Briggs to help you gain a clearer picture of who you are. I'm teaching you how I do my intention setting practice every month, like complete with crystals and everything. And you get to pick and choose and explore and find what works best for you. Not every dietitian is going to be a crystal wielding, meditating, astrology interested person. That's not my goal. My goal is to show you that these are simply tools that can help us get grounded, get connected, stop fighting against nature and resisting the curveballs that life throws our way, and instead learn how to lean into them. And maybe you'll pick up some of the tools that I teach, and maybe you'll discover some new ones for yourself. The key is the connection. And I'm not shying away from it anymore. Because that's the thing. When you get really clear on who you are, like really clear, and you work on the confidence piece, it's okay if you're marching to the beat of a different drum from everyone else. My work and my business is designed to help every dietitian march to their own drum, dance to their own music. And I want to have this big proverbial party under the moon where we're all like dancing chaotically and asynchronously and doing our own thing and owning who we are together and celebrating those differences and being cool with those differences. You know those clubs where everyone is wearing headphones and like rocking out to their own music and everyone is listening to different stuff, but they're all dancing together? I talk about it like I've been to one. I'm like so far from a cool club person, but I know they exist because I have friends who have gone to them. Anyway, that's what I want to create. That's what I'm building. That's what my group program is going to be, because that's what my business values are. Our big, messy dance party where everyone's listening to a different song, but we're all dancing together and celebrating each other and feeling super confident in our own dance moves, regardless of what the rest of the dance party is doing. And I picture us all out there doing our dancing thing in front of a giant bonfire under a big full moon without a care in the world. If you want in on it, it's almost here. And I'm so excited to have built something that so deeply embodies my business's values and mission and purpose. I'm going to be sharing more about what this evolution of my program, what this new program involves, and what I've learned from the group work that I've been doing over the past year or so. But for now, I have to leave you on a cliffhanger because I have to go get married next week, which I mentioned in last week's episode, wrapping up August. And then I'm off for a month-long road trip. So while I'm away, since I'll be in and out of cell and Wi-Fi reception and, you know, in general, want to hang my work hat up on the door and actually unplug for real, because how often do you get to go on a month-long vacation? I'm not going to be posting new episodes for the next few weeks. Instead, I have a few weeks of pulling some of my most valuable episodes out of the archives. You'll get a shiny new intro explaining why I chose that episode to reshare, and then you'll be able to listen to the episode in its entirety. Maybe it's been a while since you heard it, or maybe you're new to the podcast and haven't listened that far back in the archives yet. I know resharing old episodes won't be everyone's cup of tea, so whether you love it or hate it, know that I'll be back October 17th with a new episode, like new. In the meantime, you can always follow along on Instagram. I'll still be posting regularly thanks to the wonders of AutoPost and the Planoly app. I'll be sharing insights and reminders and new content to support you while I'm away. And I may pop in to give you some Zen scenic stories or glimpses into the adventures that we're planning for across the country. Now, I hope that this episode inspired you to think about your own values and maybe helped answer some questions about what exactly I do and what my business stands for. All right, I'm signing off for the last time as Jess Surdykoff, RDN. Time to go get married. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Empowering Dietitians podcast. If you're looking for more content like this to help you overcome burnout, imposter feelings, and limiting beliefs that are holding you back from feeling confident and passionate about your work, grab my free 10-day journal for dietitians at www.empoweringdietitians.com/free. In 10 short days, I'll guide you through your first steps of overcoming burnout and imposter feelings and get you on the path to feeling more confident as a dietitian. Again, the link to grab your copy is www.empoweringdietitians.com/free. And one last thing. If you found this episode valuable, it would mean the world to me if you would share it with your dietitian friends and leave a positive review. Those two things help this podcast reach more dietitians who need to hear these messages. And together, we can really start to change the landscape of our profession for the better.